When we start trying to share bhakti in today's world, we find that some of the ways in which it was done in the 1960s, 70s doesn't work. So we try to do it in a way that works. So some people say that we are watering things down. How do we know that Srila Prabhupada is actually pleased with what we are doing? I would say three broad things. First is that we have to look at Srila Prabhupada's own focus. Second is we have to understand our nature and we have to understand the audience nature. So, as far as Srila Prabhupada's own focus, Srila Prabhupada emphasized book distribution a lot. And he emphasized in India temple construction, especially life membership. You see that when, even when Srila Prabhupada did things, the way he did things were also very different. In America, it was mostly book distribution. In India, it was more life member cultivation. Now, Prabhupada in India went to literally hundreds and thousands of people's houses, took prasad in their houses, and he made them into life members. So there's not, even Prabhupada's time, it was not that one way he preached. And so Prabhupada himself adapted different strategies at different times, but essentially, we know that famous incident when some book distributor asked Srila Prabhupada, "What pleases you the most?" And they were confident that Prabhupada will say book distribution. But Srila Prabhupada said, "If you love Krishna, that pleases me the most." So, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. What this verse means is that there are various actions, externals, which are important for the sake of growing into bhakti, for the growing in spiritual life. But their purpose is Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Krishna is telling Arjuna that if a particular religious formulary doesn't help you to do Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, then give it up. So Arjuna is thinking, should I do my Kshatriya duty and fight against the Kauravas, or should I do my Kuladharma and protect my members of my dynasty? So Krishna tells Arjuna, give up that dharma, not adharma, give up even that dharma, if it does not allow me to you to do Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. The same way, we have to see what is inspiring people towards coming closer to Krishna, towards helping them to develop love for Krishna. And we have to do that. And what if we are trying to do that, and if people are coming closer to Krishna, they are gaining deeper appreciation for Krishna, then we are pleasing. Prabhupada will be pleased. So, Prabhupada did not do one thing, he did many things, and he told us what the most important purpose of it all was. Now, I'll come to the third part, is the nature of the people today. See, the world is changing very fast. And actually, Prabhupada came at a particular time in American history, or in Western history in general, which is very distinctive. It was the phase of the counterculture, where people were rejecting Western culture and they were exploring other forms of culture. And that's why Prabhupada's presentation of bhakti at that time just clicked. So now, if we see, the world has changed. The extent of popularity that was there, interest in India and Indian spirituality and Indian culture, that is not there so much now. You know, in universities today, almost like the number of people who want to learn Chinese languages 50 times the more the number of people who want to learn Indian languages. The tourists who go to Taiwan is probably like 1/30th time of India. Tourists who go to Taiwan every year is 30 times more than who go to India. So there is just not the interest in India. First of all, there is no interest in exploring Western culture, exploring alternatives to Western culture. And there is no specific interest in India as such. So the world has changed. And the world has changed. We have to adopt whatever works to attract people to Krishna. So, say in the First World War, when the war happened, trench warfare was a standard way to, even for a weaker army, to check a stronger army. Because in France and Germany, both of them dug trenches, and both their soldiers were in the trenches. And anybody who tried to come out of the trench, they would be shot down. So for months, Soldiers just lived in the trenches, slept in the trenches. You know, it was a terrible life for them, but it was a stalemate. In the Second World War, trench warfare was useless, because by that time aircrafts were developed. The trenches would simply become the tombs. Somebody stayed over there. So now, the same warfare, which was very successful at one level, in the First World War, it would have been completely, it had to be abandoned. So somebody may say, oh, we won a war using that strategy at that time. But you have to see, are we winning now? See, faithfulness to Srila Prabhupada means faithfulness to the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. So, the purpose of Srila Prabhupada is to win the war against illusion, to help people come to reality. And if the world has changed, if it calls for a different strategy, then it has to be adopted. So, the world has changed drastically today. And that's why we need to adapt things accordingly. So, Deshakala Vibhagavita, as it is said in the Bhagavatam. Right? According to time, place, circumstances, things have to be adjusted. Now, the essentials that are not to be changed. Nobody is going to say that Krishna is not God, impersonal Brahman is the absolute. Nobody is going to say, you are not the soul, you are the body. Nobody is going to say, oh, you shouldn't chant Hare Krishna. You can do whatever you want. Do any other form of meditation. No. There are core principles which are not going to be changed. But certain adjustments, they have to be done in a way that attracts people towards Krishna. So the audience has changed, and if you don't do this, see, faithfulness to the tradition also includes faithfulness to the flexibility of the tradition. Because the tradition itself has a component of flexibility. I said Prabhupada's own example, how he preached in America is very different from the way he preached in India. In America, if you see, when he was living, how many devotees' houses he would go for prasad? Most of his disciples were living in the temple. And the outside people were really not interested. So Prabhupada would never go to anyone's house for temple. Then Prabhupada would not do any house programs in America. Only be some college programs or temple programs or some other Rathyatra festivals. In India, Prabhupada's main outreach was through house programs. Some days when Prabhupada would go to 6, 7, 8 houses in one day. And sometimes the devotees wanted to go with him all programs, they would get tired. And then eventually they had two batches. One group would go for first 4 houses, second group would go for the next 4 houses. So Prabhupada himself adopted different strategies at different times, different places. So that's with respect to the audience. And third is with respect to our own nature. Srila Prabhupada is very multifaceted. And different devotees will be inspired by different aspects of Srila Prabhupada. So, some devotees may be inspired by Srila Prabhupada's extensive emphasis on book distribution. Others may be inspired by temple construction. Others may be inspired by study of scriptures. See, in general, in the time of Srila Prabhupada, or at least as is depicted in most popular renditions of Prabhupada's life, there are 3 definitions of success. How many books were distributed, how many temples were built, and how many devotees were made. Now, these 3 are important parameters of success. Along with that, Prabhupada himself in the 1975 roundabout, he says, now it's time to boil the milk. So that means he's basically saying that instead of just trying to get people inside, now focus on quality also. So Prabhupada recognized the need for modifying the emphasis over a period of time. So similarly, now there are different devotees may be different doing different things. So to say that something is watered down is actually a very strong value judgmental statement. Somebody could say that way, Prabhupada himself watered down his program when he started life membership. You know, life members had no commitment to chanting, no commitment to following the 4 regulative principles. The only commitment was they give a donation. Now, did Prabhupada water down his own program? No, rather than seeing something as a watering down, we see it like a step down. Like some people, if they're here, they can, like, Sometimes if you're going to climb, going to a temple, the steps may be very high. Some people can just climb the steps and they can just take a big leap and go up. Others can't do that. Then maybe there's a gradual sliding ramp which takes them up. So like that, Prabhupada himself has given us a very radically different level of connection with his movement. That is life membership. So one definition of connection was initiation, where people follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. But if you consider that to be like one circle, if you consider the life membership, it's like a very broad circle. And Prabhupada wanted them to be connected. He wanted those people also to come to the level of becoming devotees. But he was satisfied. If at least they become life members, they are contributing something. They are at some level connected with Krishna. So, rather than seeing something as, you know, this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted and everything else is wrong, we see outreach more as a set of concentric circles of expanding radii. And at different levels, people get connected with different levels of commitment, different levels of appreciation, different levels of comprehension. And that is actually the overall spirit of the Vedic culture. You know, if you can't worship Krishna, worship the devatas. If you can't worship the personal form, then worship the impersonal form. If you can't worship the devatas, worship the universal form. If you can't worship the universal form, at least understand you are not material, spiritual. Ekatvena pruthaktvena bahudha vishvatomukham. Krishna gives 9.15, various levels at which people can approach him. So, the Vedic culture was broadly that whatever level you are, from there you connect with Krishna. From there you move towards Krishna. So it's from your place, at your pace, join the race, as you say. So, okay. So that's the mood of Vedic culture. And Prabhupada also has in all examples shown a remarkable level of flexibility. So there are literally hundreds of letters in which Prabhupada has told his disciples, you know, use your intelligence. You are a sincere person, use your intelligence. And some devotee does something creative for serving Krishna. Prabhupada says, because you are so sincere, because you are sincerely trying to serve Krishna, Krishna is giving you intelligence from within. Adami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti. Prabhupada would quote 10.10 in the Gita. So as long as people's appreciation for Krishna is increasing, then we should know that we are pursuing Prabhupada's, we are satisfying Srila Prabhupada in our own way. So our nature will determine to some extent which aspect of Srila Prabhupada's legacy inspires us. Some people may want to study scripture deeply and share the deeper aspects of scripture wisdom. Some people may want to just conduct big programs and create awareness among people. So, in the Lilamrit, it is described that even in the early, right from the early days, 1965-66, when ISKCON was established. So, first ISKCON was established in New York, and then they went to San Francisco. So, the San Francisco group, Mukunda Maharaj, Mukunda Prabhu at that time, Shamsundar Prabhu, they were all people who wanted to do big things. And they were, in a sense, not so serious about standards. Their focus was more on awareness. You know, just get people to do this thing. We know that Prabhupada did a program in the Avalon Ballroom where they were all hippies who were on drugs. And now, when the devotees in New York heard this, New York was a place where Prabhupada had stayed, and devotees, they were, you could say at that time also, they were a little more conservative over there. They said, how can Swamiji go for a program like this? What are you thinking about? But when Prabhupada heard about the program, how many people will come, how many people will chant, Prabhupada was very happy. And he went for that program. So, Satsurupa writes in the Lilamrut that there were clearly two different groups of people. One was focused more on stricter standards, following oneself very seriously. Other was not so strict about the standards, but they were focused more on reaching out to people. And Prabhupada appreciated both. At that time, he was with Swamiji. Swamiji was so inclusive that he accommodated both and encouraged both. So I feel that we can always consult some senior devotees who understand us and whose explanation is understandable to us. So both ways, you know, they have to know us and understand what we are doing. And also when they explain, their explanation should be understandable to us. Otherwise some devotees are just dismissive. This is wrong, that is wrong. That is wrong. That doesn't, when consulting them will only discourage us. But if we have Vaishnavas whom we understand and who understand us, then we can of course consult them to understand, to check whether we are on the right track. But overall, we all need to be faithful to the tradition, and we need to be faithful with the flexibility of the tradition also. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Any other questions?